Much like my conversations with my wife, my conversations with God run about the same. They are intimate. They are real. They're with somebody I care about a great deal. So when it comes to the disciples' prayer or the Lord's Prayer, where we're told to, "Hallowed be your name," what is it we're praying? That's what we're looking at here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Hi there. Welcome to our program. It's part of our series, How to Pray. We're taking a look at the Heidelberg Catechism, which we have available for free, by the way. We'll tell you how to get a copy at the close of the program. And also, we're looking at the Disciples' Prayer, along with a bunch of other scriptures. Today, specifically, Psalm 124, verses 1 through 8. Hallowed be your name. What is that when we pray that? Well, here's Pastor Chris with the answer.
There's something that the Lord is teaching us here about a prepared aspect of life that needs to be in place. I think he's teaching us something about prepared hearts. You know this when it comes to worship. If you've not prepared your hearts, you know what anxieties can do. If we're rushed here and there and nothing's prepared about worship, you can sit here for most of the service and tune it out. I would submit that many people can go halfway through a worship service feeling completely disconnected from the whole thing. And you could blame me. Hey, it could have been me, right? But it could have been that you had not prepared your heart at all to come before a holy God of Israel. Isn't that right? Isn't that a danger? Half the battle in worship, I believe this, half the battle of worship when we come and what we're going to receive out of it often is to be able to come and rightly prepare ourselves to do it. I was reading how Christians took the Lord's Day so seriously years ago, and they really, I think there was an article in the Renewal this week of how they viewed the day of rest that God gave. And seriously, all the meals would be prepared on Saturday. Everything would be ready. There would be even the shaving. Ask the older ladies here. Some of you are laughing. You know your father's even shaved. Some might say that's legalistic. Is it? Or were they really going to come and enjoy the Lord that day and didn't want anything? They wanted the whole day to be focused, sanctifying the Lord in their hearts. That's not legalism. That's not legalism. Don't you think life should be this way? We get up in the mornings. Is the Lord on our hearts? Do we think about Him? Do we talk to Him? Think about beginning our days. Lord, today, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name in my life. I'm asking that I would be conscious and aware of you today. That I would remember I serve the holy God of Israel. That you are a father to me. And that I've been brought into your kingdom. I'm your child. My status has changed. I belong to you. Help me live that way. Help me to think that way. I believe that's going to have a lot of effect on the choices you're going to make in the course of a day, isn't it? It's going to give you a heavenly focus. Father in heaven, holy is your name. You rule. You're my Lord. Imagine if coming out of our mouths is not unto us, O Lord, but unto your name give glory. Psalm 115. It's all over the place. How do unbelievers spend their lives? How do unbelievers spend their lives? Running around anxiously, pursuing their own gain, living life completely for themselves. And we can do the same thing. And this petition is given to help us with that, that we need help to order our lives correctly, right out of the gates, even in a prepared kind of way. You are so weak. I am so weak as a pastor. I could spend all of tomorrow without one thought of the Lord. Without one. Without one recognition that He's the King of my life. This petition is helping us to have a spiritual awareness that the Lord is sanctified in our lives. And that's why the Heidelberg says, what we're asking is that we would know Him. The Lord said, let not the wise man glory in his riches and all these things. Let him glory that he knows me and understands me. Jesus prayed this in the high priestly prayer. He prayed that we would know him in the one that was sent, to worship him, to praise him. The second aspect to this petition here is having sanctified the Lord in our lives, that we would be aware of his works in our lives. I love that. Heidelberg says, all that shines forth from all the works that he has done in the course of our lives and what he has shown us. And look at the list here. His power, his wisdom, his kindness, his justice, his mercy, and his truth. To be aware of this. This is why the Psalms are such a pattern of prayer for us. They're teaching us something important about adoration of the Lord. Notice again, we talked about this somewhat when we looked at the sermon on Philippians. Be anxious for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your requests known to God and he'll give you peace. Notice there was a what we call a doxological aspect to prayer, that our prayers must be filled with the praise of the Lord. And you praise the Lord not just by saying 100 times, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, but by recognizing his works in your life, recognizing his works and what he's done. I think oftentimes we come to the Lord and all that's on our mind is the pain of this life. We'll be talking about that more later. But this particular petition is helping us to recognize that the Lord's name is always before us as we see what he's doing in the course of this world and being aware of his wonderful power that is being put on display. You realize you can go through life and not even think about these things? I talk all the time. I see surprising providences as a pastor. Some the Lord just gives me that are just for me, that I need for encouragement. Surprising providences. Can't you see them in the course of your life? The Lord orchestrating and working everything out, and you stop and you say, that did not happen by chance. That did not happen by chance. The Lord was there. The Lord was ordering this and helping. And I think that Psalm 111 says this very thing, that we have to be aware of these works. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He's caused his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. This is one of the blessings you get in this life, is to see the works of the Lord. I think it was Dr. Horton a few sermons ago who said Americans don't think that anything is over their roof anymore. That is so true. And I would add, they don't think anything's past their screen anymore, right? The Bible is constantly calling us to think about these things. Listen to this. The Lord who shuts in the sea with doors, when it bursts forth and issued forth from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and the thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop. You ever been down at the ocean and thought, they just stay there? You know why? Because the earth is tilted at an axis of 23 degrees, and because of that, life is sustained. And seasons come. If it were not exactly at that degree, oceans would pile up, the moon, and if the moon were just a little closer, tides from the oceans would cover continents. And yet it's all set just beautifully so that everything functions and we can have life and seasons and all that. The world calls that the great impact theory. What is that? We call that God setting the earth and telling the oceans to stop. Psalm 104, you laid the foundations of the earth so it should not be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. My favorite is the ant. Study the ant, you sluggard. You ever study the ant? You have ant farms, kids? You don't. I didn't give you permission to ask your parents for an ant farm, but if you want to ask for an ant farm, that's okay. Do you know that there are 1.4 million known species on the earth They say that between 10 to 100 million still yet unknown. What a wonder, each one. Take the ant. The Bible says they're not a strong people. Their number is so great, yet not a strong people. Their number is so great that they're, listen to this, their combined weight is greater than the combined weight of all humans. I have a hard time believing that. This not a strong people can carry 10 to 20 times their body weight. With an extremely heavy things, they move in teams to do it. The ant, in the ant, is a brain that is the largest of all insects proportion to the body. They say it has the capabilities of a Mac computer. The ant. What do? Almost everything we do. Farming. Cultivating. They feed their young. They watch over their young. They have nursery care. They have education programs. They teach the younger ants civic duties, probably better than us. They work together on massive projects. They have armed forces. They put together a whole army called the soldier ant. Security measures are in place. Social duties, engineering, creating of tunnels. Watch their tunnels. They even have water control. That's the ant. Lord, help me to be aware of your power everywhere. All of the creation, if you have the eyes to see, is telling you something. It's telling you something. And then you have the greatest work of the Son of God. What a marvel that God would give his Son, and his Son would come here, and he would take on our rags, and he would die for us. And the whole Bible is given you to tell you the story of your redemption so that you would marvel at his love. How sad to run through life living for this and not acknowledging a God who loves like that. In everything we do and say, the Lord wants us to think about, holy is your name. Setting the Lord in front of us, recognizing his wonderful works and recognizing that he is set apart and that we are set apart to him, that we belong to him. Last thing I said tonight is that we would not be hypocrites in our lives. I think Heidelberg says it so beautifully, doesn't it? And it means help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, or do, so that your name would never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. I really like that. People often say to me, well, I can't be a part of the church because the church is full of hypocrites. And I always kind of snark at that and respond, well, we'll take another. That's a cop-out. The church is full of sinners and everyone has a measure of hypocrisy. But, the Christian life should be lived without it. Paul had to tell the Jews in Romans 2 that you who condemn everyone else, do you not look at your life? And do you not judge yourselves? Do you not think about the courses and the things, the choices that you're making? Do you realize, he said in Romans 2, you can blaspheme God, the name of the Lord, by your living? And that's something we all have to take seriously. The Lord has called us out of darkness. The Lord's called us to be his people. The Lord has called us to be holy, for he is holy. And here the Lord is challenging us tonight to remember who we are and to remember to consider our living, to consider what kind of life brings the most glory to him, and to not do things that are directly against our confession in what we believe and how we live. We need to ask the Lord for that, you see. That's the point. He's not telling you to pray this because he thinks you can do this on your own. He's telling you to pray these things tonight because he's given you his grace and the Holy Spirit so that as you come to him, he is going to help you and he's going to give you the grace so that you would sanctify the Lord in your lives, recognize his wonderful works and providence, and live more holy lives before him. That's what you need. And that's why he's inviting you to pray it. He's commanding you to pray it. He's commanding us to pray it. That he ultimately in the course of our lives would be first. That's the heart of this, that he would be first, that your lives would be consecrated to him so that he would be glorified and his name never blasphemed. I hope you've come to see tonight how glorious and all important it is to begin our prayers with hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. For you're asking that our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would give us what we stand in need of and would above all and through all and in us all give us the grace we need to sanctify him in our hearts. I'm going to read Psalm 148 and take us right into prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His glory is above heaven and earth. And he has exalted the horn of his people. The praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we come to you tonight and are so grateful that you have given us such instruction on prayer. You are worthy, O Lord, of all praise. You have been so wonderful to us and kind to us, calling us out of darkness and into this light, and now we can see. And we were taught to pray so beautifully tonight, and as we should pray, Lord, holy be your name in our lives. Let us always sanctify and remember that the Lord is near to us, that we've been brought into the family, that we belong in body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, and have all the rights as adopted sons and daughters. And so then, Father, as we go through life, would we constantly acknowledge you? Would we remember whom we serve? That when we rise in the mornings, we would begin our day saying, holy is the Lord, and sanctifying your name in our lives. That worship would have a great place in us, that we would love to come and gather together with your people, preparing our hearts to come, to sing and to praise you, acknowledging your great salvation, that salvation is of the Lord. And that in the course of our lives, Lord, we would see your wonderful works. If we would stand back and just open our eyes, we would see your wonderful providence and the kind workings of your providence in our lives everywhere. Yes, you've showered us with good gifts. You've helped us every time we've called out to you. You've strengthened us. And then your protection and your mercies are new every morning. As we see cloud formations in the skies, the psalmists remind us to remember your mercies are new to us every morning. Let us see them. Let us acknowledge your wonderful works. And Father, keep us from forgetting you. It's so sad that we have to pray that. But that's how weak we are, Lord. We are like Israel. We've had so much you've blessed us with, that you've provided for us, that you've loved us and given. And we so easily forget you, and in a spirit of independence, try to live this life and do it on our own, and then find ourselves in all kinds of stress and anxiety and worry. May we more and more learn how to depend upon you, acknowledging your power in our lives, your goodness, and everything that flows from your mighty works. And then, as we live before you, would we, Lord, remember that we are a people set apart, and the sins that so easily ensnare us and the ways that we stumble, You always invite us to come back to the throne of grace and to confess our sins, and you tell us that you are faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, may we constantly be at the throne of grace, coming, confessing, repenting, and leading lives worthy of the great calling that you've given to us, being holy, for you are holy, as you call us to be. Help us, Lord, we're that weak. We need your help in this way. And as we were taught this morning, and there's much more to the prayer you taught us to pray, advance your kingdom, and we have great hearts to see your work, your salvation, your gospel, your love to be announced to the ends of the earth. Bless your word. Make your word again central here in this place and around the world, that people would hunger and thirst for it, that they would live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord and seek your words and make again, in so many ways, Father, the things that we heard tonight were illustrated and demonstrated in the Ethiopian eunuch, a heart prepared to receive that word. So make us like him, a people prepared to receive the word every week. And raise up a people, Lord, who are asking the right questions again, who are thinking about the most important things in life, who are asking about salvation. For we live in a world ripped apart by every sadness right now under the sun, and there are no answers, and a world groping around trying to figure this all out, and you've given the answer in the person and the work of Jesus. So make his praise glorious. And to the ends of the earth, may all the nations hear and come. Bless that word, Lord, as it goes out. As we go out into another week, may we love our neighbors. May we have opportunities to invite our neighbors, to talk to them. Please be with our leaders and those who make decisions, that they would make good and right decisions. Our president, those around us, those in our community. Father, please help them to do what is right and honorable, that justice and peace would be preserved. And thank you, Father, for hearing us tonight and receiving our prayers. We don't deserve you to hear, but thank you that you hear us because you love your Son. And you have given us in him life and access and hope and joy and all these kind benefits. We bless the name of the Lord tonight and pray all these things in confidence, knowing that you will do everything perfect and right in its time. May we be patient and wait upon the Lord and be of good courage, for you have promised that you will cheer our hearts. We wait, Lord, upon you. In Jesus' name, we pray these things, and all of God's people said, amen.
And amen. So here is the $5 million question. That prayer was longer than 30 seconds. How did you deal with that? Did it get a bit overwhelming for you? A real litmus test to see where we are at in our relationship with Christ, is it not? Boy, I tell you what, I love the conversations I have with my wife. And indeed, they'll go longer than 10 minutes, easily. Same with my relationship with God. How about yours? We mentioned the Heidelberg Catechism and the fact that part of our studies in this series, How to Pray, are coming from our look at the Heidelberg Catechism, and we do have copies of that catechism available if you'll reach out to us and let us know of your interest. For a gift of any amount, we'll send you a copy. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org if you wish to email us any questions you might have, or praise reports, comments about the program. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thank you for joining us today. Tomorrow, we return to our series, How to Pray. as we take a look at the next petition found in the disciples' prayer. Your kingdom come. We'll be in the book of Haggai then. So make it a point to join us. That's tomorrow on Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.